Hi, everybody. During the months of March and April, we are highlighting the work of Rios to Rivers in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
Rios to Rivers inspires the protection of rivers worldwide by investing in underserved and indigenous youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and support them in their development as the next generation of environmental stewards.
Founded in 2012, Rios to Rivers programs have connected 234 underserved and indigenous students from 20 endangered river basins in 7 countries. The programs have included students and community leaders from 21 indigenous nations.
Rios to Rivers envisions a world in which youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and tribal communities are equipped to become the next generation of passionate leaders for healthy rivers and communities.
Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help to support Rios to Rivers this March and April. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information. Hello, and welcome to Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast. I'm Mike.
And I'm Dusty.
And we're just sitting across from each other doing things and making people smile. So, Dusty, how was your 4th of July?
It was good. You were there.
Yeah, I know. Probably better than the National Park Service, right?
Probably better than their 4th of July, yeah. I would imagine.
Yeah.
It was lovely.
We did some barbecuing, smoked some ribs. We did some beach times, although you weren't there for beach
times.
No,
I did not. No. I did not join
you
for beach
times. You did not attend beach times.
We just finished up a trip hiking in Hawaii.
Right. And it's only been a week.
It's only been a week. And then we literally got off the plane.
And it was America's birthday.
We recorded last week's trail mix. Mm-hmm. It was 4th of July,
right,
the following day. So
exactly.
We saw each other again that.
Grabbing life by, you know, whatever.
The fireworks. Right.
The fireworks, the beauty, the majesty. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What is your favorite song associated with 4th of July?
Oh.
Minus Katy Perry's Firework.
Oh.
What about yours?
Wow, that's a put me on the spot. I don't really associate many songs with 4th of July.
Okay, make an association,
make an
girl.
Association. I just heard We Didn't Start the Fire on the car ride up,
oh,
so I feel
perfect.
Like that somehow fits in.
Perfect.
I mean, it's just a random string of historical events going together.
Ta-da.
It's a weird music video, too, if you've never seen it.
Oh, it is weird.
Yeah, it's kind of strange.
But
not
yeah.
as weird as Tina Turner's Private Dancer, though.
I love that music video.
Music video is bizarre.
Totally.
But I love that song.
I also love the weirdness of the music video, You Spin Me Round. Like, there's a flag waving, and
right.
he's on a turntable, and his hair is long, and he's wearing an eye patch, and then he's not. And then
I also associate Freedom 90 with the 4th of July and Philadelphia Freedom. Look at all these songs that just came to mind.
Now they're coming to you. Mm-hmm. Yes.
All the gays singing about, you know, being free.
Yes.
And drug use, I think.
Oh, right, exactly.
I'm looking for adventure, wanna follow on the trail, or get a little lost and let the wind fill my sails. Get up when the stars still fill the sky, don't wake the sun, there's so much to be done, and the day has just begun. Go where the postcards are real, you can feel, you can open your eyes and open your heart when you gaze at the national parks. At the national parks. Follow you, I'll follow you there.
So welcome to our second day in Maine.
Right, in our second day in Acadia National Park.
That's right.
Last you left us, we had arrived at our wonderful Airbnb.
Oh,
Dusty
was
wonderful. Clacking away at his computer keyboard as I definitely was getting some Z's in
just
bed.
Like the clackers and Devil Wears Prada. Clack, 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 clack.
Right.
I was clacking away getting some reports done and I got them done.
That's right.
And I emailed them away.
That's right.
So
look at you, Mr. Vacation Worker over here.
Oh,
don't you know
I'm trying
it?
Not to be that person anymore.
I know.
Can I mention something for the record?
Can I just say one thing?
Can I just say one thing?
Go for it.
before we left
for... Are you even going to say it?
Before we left for Hawaii, I had a ton of stuff to do. I had reports to do. I also had editing to do. I had a ton of stuff to do. And I pulled an all-nighter to get it all done.
Right. So, I walked in at 5:30 and you're like, I've been asleep for 20 minutes.
And I'm not kidding. I had been asleep for 20 minutes.
But then you didn't have to think about anything.
Oh my right? God. It was great.
Just the beauty and the wonder of that.
All of the above.
All of the above.
So, yeah, it was super great.
Yeah.
So
second day in Acadia, we had a deadline that we needed to meet on that second day. Or I guess I should say we had an appointment that we had early in the morning. And that appointment was an appointment with Bar Island.
Oh, that's right.
Right. So one of the first things that we did...
Well, we met Bar Island on Tinder.
We did.
And we set
a
time, both swiped right and said like, okay, the morning is the only time that works.
Right.
So.
Yeah. So those are those things and that's how they go. So, morning date.
Morning date. Nobody does that.
No.
Bar Island is a spot in Acadia National Park.
Yeah. It is north of Bar Harbor itself, the city proper.
Right.
It is an island that has a basically land strait that appears with the low tide. That is something we knew we wanted to do. And there were only certain times that it is accessible, basically every 12 hours with the tide, are you able to access Bar Island. So our second day was really kind of contingent on, you know, making that appointment and making sure that we were there on time.
Because if you didn't, you would be stuck on the island.
On the island. Or you couldn't get out there if you weren't there on time.
And then it's apparently dangerous to try and swim it back.
Well, remember there were all those signs that were like, well, you can call for a boat if there's service, but it's going to cost you a lot of money.
Oh,
I just like vividly remember those signs being
like... They were
like,
basically like,
just make sure you get back. So we got up in Bangor, packed up for the day, and headed out, definitely stopping at McDonald's first.
Got breakfast, continued our way into
Bar Harbor, basically.
Yeah.
And Bar Island is really like literally at the end of a street. So you kind of come into town. I think we came in on Route 3 and we drove in and we parked along West Street. You basically make a left off of West onto Bridge. And that is where you can take the land bridge across, or, you know, the low tide sands across to Bar Island. And it's only about a mile there and to the end of the trail on Bar Island. So it's about a half a mile from the shoreline to the island, and then about another half a mile like inland on the island up to like the peak,
because
basically
there is that trail inside.
Right. Yeah, there is a trail on the island. This is where we started to see more of the Karens, that were those very specific Acadia Karens, where they were, I think I previously misstated that there was wood involved, but there were mostly just like a stone table, basically, is the way that they did their Karens in Acadia. Like looking back through photos.
Oh, right.
It was like a platform, essentially, mark the trail. So we saw a lot of those, and just, I remember remarking on how just strange those were. There were a lot of wildflowers on the island. I mean, we were there in early June, but the weather was pretty cool that day and gray. I mean, which is not atypical, I think, for Maine. Maine summers can be, you know, on the cooler side until you're headed into the dog days of like probably late July, August.
There were beautiful flowers along that trail on Bar Island. I love seeing flowers in the wild, like, you know, the way that birders love seeing certain birds. Mm-hmm. I do love flowers. And there were so many. I took so many photos of flowers. Of all different colors. So if that's like something you're into, this is a great spot
time.
To see that.
Yeah.
Make sure you get back before.
Make sure you get back before the island gets sunken under. Like,
and then you are staying.
Brigadoon.
On
just
the
gone
exactly.
For 100 more years.
Right.
I do remember too, when we crossed the island, because it is, you're in the harbor there. Bar Harbor, actually, a lot of cruise ships will come through, and that is a stop, like, if you're headed up to Canada. So I do remember seeing some really large ships. There's a lot to kind of look at along the water's edge there and across that land bridge.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of different, like, shells and different kind of, like, see life that's uncovered once that, you know, the waters recede there and you're able to cross. And it's a pretty wide area that you're crossing. I feel like when we kind of skirted the line, I think we were about a half hour before it was like, you have to cross it this time or like you're stuck. And we like made sure that we were, you know, doing what we could. And we talked to a few people like as they were coming down off of the trail off the island, we're like, how long did it take you to get up there? Just so we knew that we had enough time to do like the entire hike, because I know this Libra was paranoid about getting back on time.
Oh yeah, of course. You were asking everybody.
Yeah.
But we did hike all the way up to the peak.
Yeah.
And we didn't stay there for very long.
No, and it's gradual incline all the way up. It's not anything that's super strenuous by any means.
No, not
I think
at
the
all.
Most like difficult part is right when you get onto the island. That seemed like where you gained the most incline.
Yeah.
And then after that,
it was a little steep there.
But as we were leaving, this was where our podcast infancy was born.
Yeah,
it wasn't podcast though at the time. It was our Instagram.
It's Bar Island. Bar Island. Tiny
it's
island.
Special for us.
It is special.
It's our anniversary spot.
It was the birth of this endeavor.
Yeah.
Because it began as an Instagram account.
Right.
I think we should explain where the name comes from, because it came out of the conversation that we had like on that bridge between Bar Island and Bar Harbor.
Right. Well, I think also too, the account was kind of born out of the fact that like on our last trip that spring when we were we in California?
California. Yes.
We had been posting a lot of things to our separate accounts, and we were doing stories on like my account or your account. And like, we were like, our friends were like, oh my God, this is like great. Like, and then I think we were talking about like, well, why don't we do something that was collective? Like, and we could share the account.
Yeah.
So that was kind of where that came out of. Cause I think at this point, I think Acadia was maybe our 10th park, something like that, 10th or 11th together. So we were kind of like, really interested in, you know, having that joint account to kind of share the experiences. But yeah, so we started talking about
I asked what would the title of the account be?
Right.
And you suggested
Gaze at the National Parks.
With the intention of it being spelled G-A-Y-S. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, that works. Oh, but wait, can we spell it G-A-Z-E?
Right.
Because then there's like
The double entendre. Right.
Which what I love about that is that Gaze at the National Parks, G-A-Z-E, works totally by itself. If you don't hear the double entendre immediately, that's still totally fine.
Right.
But it's so satisfying, I think, when you do.
Right.
So
we wordsmiths and there are people
who have told me, they're like, oh my God, I've been listening, like emails. I've been listening for a long time. I just now hear the double entendre in the title.
Yeah.
So that is the little, you know, special something.
That's right.
There was a conversation. We had a conversation like, well, should we spell it G-A-Y-Z-E? I was like, no.
No.
No. That's like spelling create with a K. No, thank you.
No.
No.
Mm-mm.
No.
Yeah, Bar Island was a lovely thing to do. It's something you should definitely, if you can make it with the tide and it fits into your schedule, something that you should definitely try to attempt, because it's easy and it's right there in Bar Harbor. So even if it matches up with some point that you're there, just try to get out to Bar Island. But after that, we jumped in the car. So we had seen a lot of like, the eastern side of the park, but we hadn't gone further south. So we made our way a little bit further south. And there were a bunch of different things that we wanted to do that were kind of near where we were at the end of our first day. So near Great Head, there is a hike. It's a small little mountain called Beehive. And we knew that we wanted to do that. But there were also, you know, the coast is really, really rocky right in that section near Sand Beach, like after you go beyond it a little bit. So we wanted to definitely see the coast a little bit. So we did a lot of like negotiating on where we were going to start. And we drove down to Monument Cove and parked there. And from there, we started on more of our major hiking for the day.
And with that, let's take a quick break. Hey, everybody. We are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon travel guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon travel guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon travel guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners. This game is called Acadia Business. This game we created because there are so many names for things in Acadia that just make us giggle.
Right.
For reasons you'll hear. We're going to give each other a landmark in Acadia, and we have to come up with, if that landmark were the title of a business, what would the business be?
Great.
All right. So, Mike, I give you Paradise Hill.
Paradise Hill sounds like a retirement home for former celebrities as a place to spend their golden years. What do you think it would be?
I also think a retirement home, mm-hmm. but specifically for former Vegas show girls.
Oh, okay. Great.
So
at Paradise Hill, find your bliss. Right.
Right.
Great. I love it. I hope to one day, you know,
end up in Paradise Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I'm going to give you Old Soaker because that's definitely one of my
favorites. Old Soaker.
Old Soaker.
Old Soaker to me sounds like a brass cleaner.
Okay.
You know?
Right. Like, I was going with a cleanser too when we got there.
Old Soaker is something that you could like in the black and white section of the infomercial, which is literally, that is my favorite thing to watch, period.
Right.
Like next to like raccoons videos on the internet, like watching just videos of those people like dramatically not being able to do something
with like a red X then going over the image.
Right. Yeah. Until like the product or survive, like the product arrives for them to help them.
Right.
Like people who can't like, you know, like pouring a soda is just so hard, or like opening a cabinet and everything falls down. Yeah. I see someone like straining their back trying to like clean a copper pot. Mm. But then like Old Soaker is literally like a pill that you
Old
like,
Soaker is magic.
Right, literally like
it's foaming bubbles.
You fill the sink with water and you just drop it in and then you just put the copper pot in and it comes out perfectly clean. Mm-hmm.
There's like a little like cartoon like bing and like a bing. Little like diamond shine mark.
And then they show it you like this old crusty penny that's like literally just, you know, coming to life in like a bottle or like in like a glass.
Yeah,
of,
no, I understand.
Of Old
it's like Alka-Seltzer going off. Yeah, I feel like Old Soaker. I was thinking cleanser immediately too. I also feel like it could be like, you know, a youth rejuvenating solution. It's like Old Soaker, like soak the old away. And like you would just like rub it on your face and then shower and then all of your crow's feet would be gone. Old Soaker.
Interesting. See, I don't know how well that would sell being like a cleanser to like with the name old in it.
You're
like,
right.
I don't think anybody would want
Young Soaker.
Young Soaker, I think would be better. So we drove the park loop and we parked at Monument Cove.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, we took the Gorham Mountain Trail North.
Right.
And to reiterate, Acadia is a network of trails.
Yes.
It is not just like a there and back situation. No. Really anywhere. It is a network of trails, and you design, you know, your own hike, how you want to do it and which part of which trail you want to include. So these are the trails we included today. So we
were trying to do mostly like trails that would give us a loop eventually to get us back to where we had parked, which was easy to do.
Right.
You know, like, and you, also, if you plan it well, it's easy to do.
I don't think it was until day three we started considering incline gain,
right,
or decline gain or whatever, because we were just like, oh, well, this kind of loop would make the most sense, or, you know, that would allow us to see this, or
right,
it would put us over here, so we'd be able to see this kind of overlook.
Right.
But we were just going for, honestly, what we were inspired by.
Yeah. And really what like struck our fancy, because we had like an aim in mind to like come back and see some specific things on the way back to the car after. So this worked out well. When we started on the Gorham Mountain Path North, we ended up very quickly encountering a plaque that was in the rock face, which is something that is kind of atypical. I haven't seen too many like metal, like cast plaques, like on like a part of the park that's like a trail. Sometimes at like a visitor center, that's like something that you might see. This was the Pathfinder plaque. And I did a little research just like after the fact. That plaque was dedicated to Waldron Bates, who basically began exploring what is Acadia National Park now, but in the 1880s. The trails along Gorham Mountain were mapped and built largely due to him. So that plaque is there in honor of him.
That was a really fun trail.
Was a fun trail.
Gorham Mountain Trail. It felt a little different than everything else because there were like really large rocks.
Right.
That I remember you were going in and around.
Yeah, there was like a lot of like weaving around those rocks.
And they had even put some planks down in certain places so that you could get around.
Right. That was like also because it was really cool. We had started, I remember the both of us had started with pants and like a long sleeve something on, but we, I think, had been prepared. So like under our pants, we had shorts. This was the point where we were like, I think it had started to get like muggy. And so we both, like, as we started hiking, like
stripping. Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
We went to Thunder Hole and stripped.
So
yeah.
Yeah. It felt a little, I mean, I'm going to say rainforesty here. I think it was because it was really green and it was really covered. And it also had a lot of rock. Rainforest is inaccurate.
No.
I think it was also, like, I'm remembering the heat that was inside of it.
Yeah, it was just a lush canopy.
Reminding me of that.
A lot of, like, conifers and things like that, too. I do remember, like, once we got to the top of Gorham Mountain, there was a pretty good view. I believe it's of either Great Head or Otter Cliff, because it's like a part that, like a peninsula that's jutting out into the sea. There was a couple up there that I have like photos of them in, like as I was trying to get like that peninsula off into the distance. So there is like a really decent view up there. And I just remembered like there was also like once we started to get up there and it started to become a little bit more bald, there were areas where you had not only rock, but it was kind of sandy too. And that was what you started to see as we kind of made the descent down, because after we descended down, we headed towards the Beehive.
And that is really one of the more famous landmarks in Acadia National Park, and it is like this giant round boulder that's enormous that you climb over.
Right. We ended up coming down Gorham Mountain, and then we walked or hiked our way to the Bowl, which is a lake that's a little north of the Beehive. We sat there for a little bit too, I remember, and like snacked. There were a bunch of like families and thing and other people that were at that lake at that time, because the bowl is not that large comparatively to like some of the other lakes and ponds that we were near when we were on Acadia. It's pretty small in size. So we like hiked
didn't
up.
We sit on some rocks
we
and
did
just like perch ourselves right there,
yeah,
and the water was really calm.
Yes, yeah, it was really calm.
I remember
calm.
That
so we like snacked there for a little bit because at that point it was probably about midday, and then we picked ourselves up and headed to the Beehive.
I did not know at this time that we were headed to this famous Beehive.
Right.
Like I had not researched it. I did not know sort of what the terrain would look like for the beehive. Little did I know, half of the beehive trail is climbing straight up, essentially.
Well, for us,
it would be straight down.
Right, because we did a thing where we came in the wrong way.
You are going vertical.
Yeah.
Like actual vertical for a portion of the trail. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, I do remember this, is that this was the first trip with hiking poles. So I had a pole and you had a pole.
Right, I borrowed your pole.
Right. We made our way to the top of the beehive and we took a bunch of photos up there. Mm-hmm. And then we were starting to head down and we noticed how like incredibly steep it was. And I was going first. And after about 5 minutes of crawling down like the front face of the beehive, I was like, excuse me, like, what is this like terrifying, treacherous trail right now? I did not know that this is what was happening. And I looked at the map and it was like, you're going to descend like 1,000 feet in a matter of like an eighth of a mile. And I was like, oh, now I get it.
Yeah. Well, we also were dealing with a lot of like metal ladders that were embedded into the rock face. There were also metal like kind of gangways. So they had these graded metal gangways that would like bridge the gap. So that way you didn't have to hop from a boulder that was maybe 5 or 10 feet from another boulder. It was like, oh, here's a grate for you to walk over, which if you are not fond of grates, I have a friend that's particularly not fond of street grates or the like the doors that are in sidewalks in like New York City for fear of falling into them. This would have like put her into sheer panic attack.
Oh, I'm sure.
So it is something like the beehive is really cool and it's really fun. I wish we had actually gone up it.
I wish we would have too.
We definitely were like living in like the treachery of headed down. I think we ran into a few people not realizing that, you know, this isn't the typical way that you go.
Oh, yeah.
And they were going down. And they were like, okay, good luck with that. Like, these were people that had hiked it before.
And we ended up collapsing the hiking poles and putting them in the bag because there was no way to hold on to it and also climb down safely.
Yeah.
So you had to just surrender to the beehive. I really do want to go back and climb up the beehive trail.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of climb down.
Yeah. I just want to go back in general because,
my fear of heights was triggered during the descent on the beehive trail. I think I would have feared less because I would have been facing up and facing forward and not looking behind me.
Right.
But it was just constantly seeing like the earth and that you could just like topple over at any point and fall right down.
Right. And this is like where we were also seeing the major monuments from above. So we were able to see Old Soaker from here. You were able to see Great Head and Sand Beach. There were other things that you could see from the distance. So this is like one of the higher points at this point in the park that's closest to like the shoreline. So that was like great for just visibility of where you were. I do remember that. When we came down, we ended up like walking back and we took the Satterlee Trail, which kind of like crosses over back to Great Head from the beehive. And then because we were trying to get in some like mileage for the day, we like walked down that and then we crossed Sand Beach again. The day before we had actually gone onto Sand Beach, but we hadn't walked across the whole thing. This was like also, it was a little livelier at this point. There were a lot of people on the beach.
And there was volleyball happening.
There were dogs everywhere. It was like Beach Party USA. It's very clear that depending on time of day, is like a super happening spot to go within the park. The sun had broken through because it was pretty cloudy at that point. So we did get a little bit of sun at that point in the day. But after that, we really just kind of made our way back along the ocean path, which takes you all the way down past Thunder Hole, down to like Otter Cliff and to Otter Point if you kind of keep walking around it. But this is where you get to see that kind of quintessential like rocky shore of Maine. So like you're walking along this path, which is like a path it's decently well kept. It's easy to navigate and it's easy to kind of like go throughout, but you can kind of jut off onto the rocks and you get some really incredible views. You still need to be careful if you're jumping off the trail or if you're getting off the trail and going onto those rocks that are to your left if you're walking down towards Otter Point or to your right if you're walking up towards Sand Beach. There's still something there that you really need to be aware of as you're getting off the path. So just something for, you know, point of reference for anybody that might be planning on doing that. But I do remember just like seeing those rocky shores, like those really, really vivid orange rocks against the blue sky was really, really cool to see.
And I would imagine that Otter Cliff and Otter Point are called that because there are otters about, but I never saw any.
What about me?
And with that, let's take another break. Hey, everybody. We are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon Travel Guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon Travel Guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon Travel Guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners. It's time for Drag Queen Corner. Ladies, gentlemen, and everyone in between, please welcome to the stage.
Bubbles Divide. You know,
this is another landmark.
With no shortage of names, Acadia. Bubbles Divide is, you know, our queen for the day here.
She is. I feel like she has giant beehive hair.
Oh, okay. So she's just landmarking. She's just like,
she's a reference.
Painting with the colors of Acadia's wind.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think she's got beehive hair.
Okay.
Her beehive hair is like purple.
Okay. I feel like she's got kind of a mismatch look about her. It's kind of like punk, but also like fun, like really, really bright colors. I just think Cyndi Lauper when I think of Bubbles Divide, and that's like going to definitely play into the song she's going to sing like later.
Oh, interesting.
Because like that is exactly who comes to mind.
Like, oh, I sort of see like an intersection between Cyndi Lauper and Divine.
Okay.
The drag queen, yeah. Divine. And she's a comedy queen with a name like Bubbles.
Oh, yeah.
I think you have to be.
Yeah.
What is her like shtick that she does like in her performances?
Oh, what is her shtick? I feel like she
I feel like real actual soap bubbles is two on the nose.
Right.
I don't know that she does
it's
that.
Not like it's not like the Thousand Bubbles show, or what was that show in New York?
Gazillion Bubbles show. Right.
She's the ringleader of the Gazillion Bubbles show. No. Mm-hmm. She's got like a musical comedy act where like she writes original songs, but they're like they're parodies of people in the audience, kind of. And she does it on the fly.
Oh, and she does. Ooh, Bubbles is swift.
Bubbles is swift.
I like that.
That's right.
My next question, but I have an answer to it, is like, what is her like product that she like, you know, some drag queens have makeup and drag queens have, you know, like music and an album. I think she has
A bubble bath. Well, I think she's also an official sponsor of Connor's Nubble, too. I mean, she, you know, she's a spokesperson.
For Connor's Nubble, exactly.
For sure. So and I do feel like her song is Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
I
feel like that is just like, it screams Bubbles Divide.
It's any song that one might get all wet and like wash a car to.
That's I'm sorry. Any song she's that also she an official sing. Spokesperson for Old Soaker. Yeah.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. So,
ladies, gentlemen, and everyone in between, welcome to the stage.
Bubbles Divide. And speaking of Bubbles Divide, that's actually a landmark that we hit in the next section of this day that we were hiking. After we finished up in sort of the southeastern region of the park, we got back in the car and we headed toward Jordan Pond.
We drove the Park Loop Road because at that point it was the thing that made the most sense to get onto, and it was taking us in that direction. Remember, the Park Loop Road only goes in one direction in Acadia, but there are other roadways that bisect. So the Route 3 does go through the park itself. So that's a way, if you needed to, you could potentially get onto that off of the park loop and go in a different direction, but that's not everywhere. So we headed to Jordan Pond House, actually, and we parked there.
Which is right on the lake.
There were a few things that we were going to hit over here. So like Dusty was saying, there's like a lot to do within the park. You had said that you hadn't really researched the beehive. I feel like for this trip, when we went to the ranger station that first day, we had asked, you know, what is it that we should really quintessentially hit? Cadillac Mountain was one thing that they had definitely recommended. That was day one.
Jordan Pond was another thing.
Jordan Pond and the Triad is something that they mentioned. So that is what we did. It's not that long of a hike from Jordan Pond to the Triad. You do have to kind of meander a little bit. So we parked at Jordan Pond House and we skirted the bottom of Jordan Pond to kind of get us out to the Triad. There are, at the base of Jordan Pond there, the southern end of it, there were some planks that we definitely had to navigate to. So that is something that became a little bit more common as we were closer to water, depending on where we were. Park system had set up like kind of like plank bridges that would, if it was a marshy area or if it was over a small amount of water, that was their answer to navigating that and still staying on the trail. So that was something that we definitely had to work to navigate as we were going.
From Jordan Pond, we stepped onto the Bubble Brook Trail. Brook Trail is a great name too. And we headed toward the Triad.
Right. So that took us about like a mile. It was a little over a mile to get to the Triad. The Triad was only 698 feet.
And what is the Triad? It's one of the peaks in the park, and you get a pretty spectacular overlook from a bunch of different directions. And it was recommended to us by the park ranger when we talked to them on our first day. So we continued from there. Essentially, we were starting at the south end of Jordan Pond. We were going to hike out to the right and make a big loop and come up to the top of Jordan Pond and then just walk
along the shore.
Along the shore of Jordan Pond. So after the Triad, we got onto the Pometic South Ridge Trail, and we headed up to the top of Pometic Mountain.
Right. This was a particularly hard hike. We gained about 600 feet in elevation, a little less than that. And that was a pretty quick elevation gain.
Yeah, we were cursing at that moment.
It was also the sun that we had a little earlier when we were on Sand Beach had completely vanished, and it was like very ominous, like gray sky. I remember on the Triad, it was super windy, and then you kind of like descended off of the Triad, and then you were coming up Pometic Mountain. And I just remember the wind being so incredibly intense. That is like the one thing that sticks out for me. Like,
on the top of any peak.
But there specifically, it was like whipping at us. I remember like there's a photo of you like sitting behind a rock. And like, I remember us being up there, and like once we had summited, and this is like an even better view because you are so high up at this point and you're able to see so much of the park from here. It's, you know, one of the tallest peaks within the park. Cadillac Mountain's like 1500 feet. Pometic and Door Mountain are around the same, you know, they're about 1250-ish. So you're able to see a lot. Like you could see Jordan Pond in the distance. You could see Eagle Lake. There are a lot of things, landmarks in the area, you could say. But the wind was so intense that we just like ended up finding as much shelter as we could to kind of like just huddle behind things.
And the weather was, I mean, Maine weather, there were times where it was like warm and bright and sunny, and then suddenly it would get gray and rainy, and it was getting increasingly gray this day.
Right.
And so I think like the wind was pulling in some, you know, weather that might get a little nasty.
Hail to the guardians of the Watchtower of the North.
Exactly.
We didn't last too long up at the top of Pometic Mountain. We did start our descent, which was Why don't you tell us about that descent?
Okay,
a little bit?
Let's talk about the descent from Pometic Mountain. Yeah.
We ended up in the woods a little bit again, so pretty quickly.
We're descending off of this. So they say mountains, but I think I just want to be clear. Getting to the peaks of these mountains in Acadia was like you're walking through forest and then suddenly you are at the peak of something. It felt different than like walking in Great Smoky Mountains National Park. Technically speaking, these were all mountain peaks, but it sort of just felt like you were at the top of, you know, tall boulders that just happened to be considered mountains. We're coming down Pometic Mountain. We get into tree coverage again, and the trees, I remember, were really tall at this point. And we start making our way down, and there's a sign. And the sign is pointing to one of two ways. You can either go down this one sort of very steep rock face, or you can go down these ravines. And inside of the ravines were these old wooden ladders. Mm-hmm. And the two of us decided, we were like, well, the rock face feels a little bit like that's what we should do. And that is what we did choose to do at the beginning of this. And so we're like, okay, we're making our way down the, oh, wait, literally, like, it's so steep. Like, we could not even, there was nothing to grip. It was like, there were some trees coming out of the rock that you could, like, kind of step in front of. Other than that, it was like a slide.
Yeah. It was a lot of sit and scoot that we had to do.
We did and a like very lot careful sit and scoot. Extremely careful. Yeah. And we were like, the thing was, is you had to descend a lot really quickly.
Right.
And once you committed to
a route.
Like, once you committed to a route, you had to do it the whole way down. Because like if had we gone down the ladders were like between giant boulders inside of a ravine. We were going down next to the boulders, and there was only one entrance to get to the ladders.
Yeah.
And, you know, we couldn't just like fall into the ravine to go into the ladders.
I mean, we could have fallen into the ravine, things we didn't
could
do.
Have, but we wouldn't be here to tell the story had we done that.
Yeah.
So in hindsight, I probably would have taken the ladders down.
Well, I also think this was like a case of, oh, this is the way up. This is what we were supposed to do. Like, where same thing when we did the beehive. Like, clearly this is like the route that most people would take up because it made a lot more sense. And I also think to that token, I think actually the way we went down was the correct way, and that coming up was what you should have done through the ravine with the ladders. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I think that was probably like how it was set up. But
perhaps. But
I do remember it being like super treacherous and like just the, you know, there was a lot to consider with every step of the way down. Before we had kind of made this descent, there was a lot of talk about walking all the way up to Eagle Lake and then going to Connor's Nubble and then coming down and going over the North Bubble and then going over the South Bubble and then walking along Jordan Lake. But we got to the bottom.
By the time we got to the bottom, we looked at each other. We were like, we ain't doing any of that. That ain't happening now.
No.
Our bodies were tired.
Yeah.
At that point.
Yeah.
And we were like, what is the simplest thing?
Yeah.
What is it? It's Bubbles Divide.
Right. So we went through Bubbles Divide, which basically the bubbles are two smaller peaks. There is literally like a ravine that runs through them.
And that's what you're walking between.
And that's where we got our queen's name for this episode. That takes you quickly back to Jordan Pond. It's really not that long of a trek back there. When you get back to Jordan Pond, you really are, if you ever have walked along like a lakeshore before, that is just like very woody with a wide avenue sort of path. That's exactly what Jordan Pond was. This path back was a very easy sort of like kind of stroll through the woods along the lake. I just remember there being like a lot of families like hiking it too. So it's like a super accessible trail. There was like such a big family in front of us. Do you remember? It was like five or six kids like with the parents too. And some of the kids were definitely like at the end of their rope. Clearly they had been out for the day.
Yeah, so they were both like 6'1" and they had just come down ravines.
Yeah,
those kids.
So the pond was a really nice way to sort of end the travel for that day. And it was a really like easy path to meander back to the car. So we kind of end up retracing our steps as we get back down to the southern end, because that was what brings us back to the parking lot.
Yeah, but it's only like a blip.
Yeah, it's really not that
long. It was fine.
I do find, I do find that, you know, the map we had and, you know, to a bigger extent, the trails in Acadia, it seems like a lot of distance. It's not like, I feel like everything is broken up very easily. And I feel like the distance between things is a lot shorter than one would think. When one looks at maybe a map from another national park where scale really isn't considered.
Right. Yeah. I did find this to be, the scale to be pretty accurate here. I will say this. What I loved most about hiking in Acadia National Park is there were obviously so much different terrain to see and so many different kinds of things to see, but you can adjust your route literally at any moment.
Yeah.
Just like we did. Like we were like, we're going to be crazy and do this entire thing.
We're always going to be crazy.
And then we get to this one point and we're like, oh no, that part exhausted us. And we need to listen to our bodies in a moment like that and not go totally fully crazy. And say like, okay, well, we're going to do this and we're going to come back to over here. And now this is the plan.
Yeah.
And Acadia, because they have so many trails, makes that so easy to do.
Yeah.
It's time for the Karen Stone Scale.
Great.
The stones have come together. Karen is holding them, and she will bestow upon each trail how many it is in difficulty. The Karen Stone Scale
will she
is
give a rose too.
right. That's our way of saying how strenuous or not a hike is. The more Karen stones, the more strenuous. Because we found like across the board at national parks, people throw around the word strenuous.
Right.
They use it as a way because it's obviously like, you know, easy, moderate, strenuous is sort of like the spectrum by which like trails exist, like on maps or in parks, or that's how they're classified. But we found that the word strenuous was not the same across the board, as I'm sure, you know, a large Diet Coke at one place is different than at another.
Mm.
Sorry for that Diet Coke reference, but
that's okay.
The Bar Island Trail.
I'm going to say just a two. I feel like they're, you know, it's a mile, but you do have some elevation to gain. It's not particularly tough, but you know, for someone that maybe isn't used to hiking, just expect that you are going to have to do some trudging, a little bit of upward trudging.
Yeah.
And also there's the danger of being trapped on the island. So a two.
I'm going to give it a four, actually, because I remember the beginning was tough. I mean, for like a minute, but like, and then right as you're getting close to the peak, it was also a lot of incline.
Yeah.
But there was a section where I remember we turned a corner and saw more uphill, and I was like,
this was our first hike for the day, folks.
Our first hike of the day. So it gets a 6 out of 20 Karen stones.
The beehive.
I think this is like a solid 8.
I was
going to
say a 7. Yeah.
If Yosemite Falls is a 10.
Yeah.
Always and forever, girl. Yeah, I think the beehive is an 8.
Yeah. I think if I'm curious what we would say if we hiked it the different, like the
front. We'd gone up the front instead of down the front. Yeah, it might be a 6 that way, but I don't know. Haven't done it.
Yeah.
So going down was like an 8.
Yeah.
Because it felt really treacherous.
Okay.
I did feel like I was going to just like fall off the side of a cliff.
Great.
Like a couple of times.
Yeah.
Even though there was like those metal bars there,
right,
it still did feel that way.
Yeah. What about Pemetic Mountain?
I would give that a 7.
Yeah.
Only because of incline.
And treachery on the way down.
Yeah. You know? Like, it wasn't as treacherous as the beehive on the way down, but I would give it
a 7.
There
was stuff to be pausing and considering there. I'd say 7, too.
Yeah.
So, good old 14.
So, yeah. And how many was the beehive total?
15.
15.
Yeah.
So, you got 15 Karen stones for the beehive and 14 Karen stones for
Pemetic Mountain.
And Jordan Pond, she doesn't get on the trail.
She was just lovely.
I mean, she doesn't get on this scale.
No rose for her.
No rose for her. She's a walk. Yeah. She's a lovely walk.
She is.
So it is time for Jeopardy. Mike, why don't you give us your Jeopardy first?
Great. My Jeopardy is inspired by location here in Acadia National Park.
Okay.
So my Jeopardy is titled A Drink on Bar Island.
Okay. Bar Island.
Bar Island. So that is going to come into play in two ways in this Jeopardy.
I'm ready.
And let's see how you do. I think you're going to like this. A Drink on Bar Island for 100. Start by pouring 4 of the 6 major types of liquor, minus brandy and whiskey, over ice and adding some triple sec and sour mix for a good measure. While taking the ferry there from Manhattan may be less painful, nothing will be as fun as this kooky concoction.
Is it a Bar Island iced tea?
Okay, so it's not a Bar Island iced tea. It's a
Long Island.
Yeah, it's a Long Island iced tea.
Iced tea?
Yes, Long Island iced tea.
Oh, I thought I was incorporating Bar Island into it.
So the entendre here is that we were on Bar Island, the idea of it being a bar. But I will tell you this, all of the drinks that you are going to have answers for are names of islands.
Oh.
So okay. I wanted to see what you did with the first Long Island iced tea.
Great.
Okay. A drink on Bar Island for 200.
If it were a Bar Island iced tea, I would only have like a set amount of time to drink it before it disappears.
Not feeling like riding the liquor train tonight? Why not order a beer? And if you happen to be in Chicago, why not go local? With brews like Bourbon County Stout, 312 Wheat, and Honker's Ale, how can you be wrong with this brand named after an island nestled in the North Branch Chicago River, named after our fine feathered migratory friends? So you're giving me a beer brand.
Oh, is it Goose Island?
That's correct.
Mm.
A drink on Bar Island for 300. This concoction, a mix of whiskey, vermouth, and bitters, maybe with a maraschino cherry on top, is one that makes you think of smoky bars and bygone eras. If this island city hadn't changed its name, it may be known as a Turtle Island, which has a much nicer ring to it.
Is it a Manhattan?
That's correct.
Great.
A drink on Bar Island
what
for
is
400.
Yeah,
this exotic drink has quite the ingredient list, including gin, Cointreau, cherry liqueur, Benedictine, pineapple juice, lime juice, and bitters. Named for this Malaysian city-state island, which is also the setting for much of Crazy Rich Asians, this drink will have you feeling the year-round summer breeze blowing in.
What is a Mai Tai?
No,
what is that?
What is a Singapore slang? Singapore is a city-state island.
No, nope, I haven't had that drink before. Okay,
they're very good.
Thank you.
All right, and a drink on Bar Island for 500. A drink designed to feature the distinctive color of Curacao liqueur. This drink also features vodka, rum, pineapple, and citrus juice, along with sweet and sour mix. A trip to this island chain, an extension of Polynesia, and the land of the red, white, and blue, may be a great excuse to have one of these.
What is the a Maui something?
No, what is a blue Hawaiian?
Oh, a blue Hawaiian. Yeah, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't drink cocktails all that much, so I guess that's why I don't know the names of all of them.
But you got 3, and they were good.
I did.
Those other two, like Singapore,
that was a good category.
Thanks. I was really excited about it.
It is so funny because before we sat down to record, you were like, "I think today might be the day where we wrote the same Jeopardy," and I'm curious why you thought that.
Oh, I don't know. Just because I was thinking about Bar Island is like a major landmark and something that we did, and I thought that maybe this would come into play.
Okay, well,
let's see yours here, Mr.
Right.
Ballard.
We did not write the same Jeopardy. The title of my Jeopardy is called Acadia Wordplay.
Oh, wonderful.
In this category, you have to give us the new morph name for Acadia National Park.
Okay.
If there was some sort of new distinguishing factor that changed something about its name.
Okay, so I'm changing the name of Acadia National Park in this category.
But
okay.
I will say every answer rhymes with Acadia.
Oh, great.
Okay, here we go. The new name for Maine's only national park, if it were only for people with hair long enough to twist into these kinds of designs.
Abradia National
Correct.
Park.
Correct. The new name for Maine's only national park, if it were known for its areas of tree covering or as a haven for sassy homosexuals.
Agladia National Park?
No, we were looking for Ashadia National Park.
Oh, okay.
It's tree covering.
Got it.
300. The new name for Maine's only national park, if it were only a park for women.
Aladia National Park.
Yes. 400. The new name for Maine's only national park, if it was known for housing a veterinary clinic that would fix your female cat or dog.
Aspadia National Park?
Correct. And finally...
It's Bob Barker's park.
Exactly. 500. The new name for Maine's only national park, if it were really scary.
Afradia National Park.
Yes.
Yeah.
You got
That's
all
great.
Of them correct.
I love that. Super fun.
And that is Acadia Wordplay.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Follow us on Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks, and email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com.
Gaze at the National Parks was created and is hosted by Dustin Ballard and Michael Ryan.
All original artwork featured on Instagram is by Michael Ryan.
This episode was edited by Dustin Ballard.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman with Mariella Klinger.
We would also like to acknowledge that while hiking in Acadia National Parks, that we were on the traditional lands of the Wabanaki Confederacy.
Bonus round, Acadia business. Connor's Nubble.
Oh, Connor's Nubble. Connor's Nubble feels like it is some parents that went on Shark Tank and they're like, you know, our son just like couldn't get used to pacifiers. So like we created this like really ingenious pacifier that like just like stays in their mouths at all time. And we call it Connor's Nubble.
Interesting. Yeah. I was also thinking a kid business because mm-hmm. Connor would be the kid, but I think it would be some type of trail mix that's like gluten-free or something. Connor's like Nubble
Connor's
is like
Nubble.
Something you can, you know, like
grab on the go
yeah. and enjoy.
Yeah. You know that since I'm going with all the nasty names, I'm going to go with Thunderhole.
Thunderhole.
Thunderhole also sounds like it could be a James Bond film.
Yeah. Thunderhole. Immediately, I just think of like Thunder from Down Under, which is the male strip show.
Mm.
But I'm like, Thunderhole feels like it might be like the Maine's answer to Thunder from Down Under. So they're all just like lumberjacky and
where is this established?
Let's go. What about you?
I feel like it is a line of bunkers, like the Thunderhole bunker, like, you know, preparing for the nuclear apocalypse. Why not trust in Thunderhole? You know, it's going to get you through.
Oh, like you buy a bunker.
Oh yeah, like you buy a bunker, like
oh,
a thunder
you mean
hole.
Like oh, like underneath the
yeah, like underneath the ground. Yeah,
interesting. Yeah. Now I get it.
Yeah. You gave me a look of like I had 10 heads.
Can we combine those? Like you
an
get
underground
to,
bunker strip club? Well, I'm in.
Yeah.